Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream. Getting our nose right in there and having a good sniff around the Monday scrum.
Yes, we're back with a bit of scrummage action. James Graham is here alongside me, Adam Peacock. Hello, James.
How are we doing, mate?
I'm good. I was a bit worried last week when I was alongside Michael Chamis, and then the next night you made mention, and I thought, am I one of the two bitches? I didn't say anything. It was all Chamis.
Oh, no. Yeah, that was a bit of a moment for myself, but we move on.
It was one of the more enjoyable moments from the weekend. And straight from McDonald's and Anthony Seibold and buying him a Big Mac, Aaron Woods. How are you, Woodsy?
Oh, that'll do me, mate. I'm going good. How are you? How are you, Adam?
Good. Who are you playing for at the moment?
At the moment, still with the Dragons.
You're a Dragon.
Yeah, so I was the 18th man yesterday. I was on the sideline of the Dragons. Did what we had to do there. And then it's just a bit of a process at the moment they've got to go through. So hopefully be sorted by tonight or tomorrow, which would be nice to know what I'm doing.
Okay, we'll dip into that. And
can't wait.
The man to your left is busily
scribbling
those notes. The Monday scrum's very own Daryl Williams. Brent Reed.
he's finally seen the light. Coming to the Northern Beaches.
I've been bagging him for my whole career.
We used to always joke with Woodsy that he had an apartment at Manly because he grew up a Manly fan. Did you ever have an apartment or not?
No, I didn't. I didn't. Woodall Richie came up with that.
Yeah, anyway, he's coming over.
So we're a broad church on the Northern Beaches because you're not a Manly fan, but you live there and love it.
But I did grow up a Manly fan, actually. I grew up in Brisbane, but I grew up a Manly fan pre the Broncos. And then the Broncos came in nice.
You're not a Ryan Girdler who hates the joint but lives there and sucked money out of the joint through his coffee shop.
Actually, when I was 8 years old, we went on a trip to the snow. And I made my dad go. We were living in Brisbane, obviously. I made my dad go via Brookvale Oval.
Nice.
That's how much I love Manly.
How old were you? Where'd you come
from? Eight. You were eight. Yeah. Well, you know, if my 8 year old decided to dictate terms about which way we're going to the snow, giving them a quiet, please.
You mean we were going to the snow, but we were going via Sydney. So I didn't make it. It wasn't a detour.
That's a big detour, really. Look, you don't want to swear in front of your children, but I mean, hey, quieting down back there. And this is obviously in the day before, you know, entertainment, you know, no iPads or screens or anything like that. But if the child's 8 years of age, he's dictating which way we're getting somewhere.
Yeah. He was a good bloke. Sorry, he was a good bloke. My old man's still alive.
Jesus, Reedy.
Oh, Baz. Dragons fan. Let's not go there.
Did he go via Cogra?
Not last night, hopefully. Speaking of which, James, I'll start with you, one of your former clubs, and Woodsy, I'll get a bit more in-depth about possible transfers and what went on last night. But, James, your overarching thought about what went down there in the derby, it was an un-derby-like performance in terms of intensity from the Dragons. And well done, Cronulla, because with Nicho Hynes, they looked fantastic.
Yeah, Nicho Hynes was pulling all the strings. He's the conductor of the band in that team. And I think it showed what a difference he makes from when he's there to when he's not. That's why he is the reigning Dally M medalist. I think in terms of the Dragons' performance, second half, it was a capitulation. Clear for everybody to see. It just wasn't there. You knock off in a number of areas, and you're going to pay the price. And when you've got the attacking threat, people like Ronaldo on one wing, Nakora hitting those lines,
Jesse Ramian was outstanding.
Yeah. So if you start clocking off in areas, those guys can make you look like that, and just wasn't there from the Dragons.
Woodsy, you were 18th,
yep.
And obviously, as we mentioned at the top, there's the possibility of a swap with Manly, some of their young props perhaps going to the Dragons. Yep. I don't know how much you can give us and talk out of school, in school, or whatever, but I just want to know how it was in the dressing rooms after that last night.
Well, we went to half time. So I think it was 12-8 at halftime, and the boys were pretty upbeat, positive. You know, everything we wanted to do, we worked hard. We forced a few errors from the Sharks early on in the game. I think they dropped their first five times they touched the ball, and we were right up into it. And it was just like, we got in halftime. The boys, they said all the right things. We spoke about everything, and we went out there, and because the previous week against the Broncos, our first, I think it was 5 to 10 minutes after halftime, that's where they got their ascendancy, and they sort of changed the game, and they went back to back with their tries. And it's something that we really spoke about all week that we wanted to fix. And then, like I said, at halftime, we spoke about what we wanted to do, but for some reason, we just didn't fire. And it was just so frustrating at the end of the game. And it was just so flat because we had the opportunity there, but then to leak 40 points again, back to back. And, you know, I think what we leaked 26 points in the second half, it's just not good enough. And they were just so frustrating. I've seen Ben Hunt's comments, you know, after the game on social media, and not one bloke could hold their head up high after that second half. And it's an area that we wanted to fix, but we spoke about it, but we didn't. So it's something we've got to fix at training, because it just keeps happening to us last 2 weeks. You know, we said, yeah, we played a good 70 minutes against the Broncos, but that last 10 minutes killed us, and we let in, I think it was 3 or 4 tries in the space of 8 minutes. So we need to be better, because we can't keep letting these blowouts happen, and the good sides just don't do that.
A lot of talk about the coach leading into that game, Woody. Yeah. Do you think the players, it gave them an excuse?
Not at all.
They can just not play for him because they think he's going anywhere.
We haven't mentioned it once in the group. You know, we spoke about all preseason, whether we win, there'll be no talk about the Dragons. And if we lose a game, the media is just going to just scrutinise absolutely everything we do from that week. And for us, the coach, there's been talk about it for the last 6 months or probably 12 months, even when he re-signed last year.
Yeah.
Everyone was, what's going on? For us as a group, we don't focus on that stuff. We've got a job to do at hand. And yeah, if we want to use that, that's just a poor excuse from us as a playing group. And a lot of people probably say that, but we need to just focus on ourselves and just don't worry about those sort of outside issues.
I think, Woodsy, that approach is easier said than done.
Yeah.
I think that there is having an excuse to hang your hat on is always going to be there.
Even if it's subconscious.
Even if it's subconscious. And there's no escaping it. Look, the Dragons are one of the biggest clubs within our sport. You know, we know their rich history. And look, this being played out, I think it is an acceptance there that there's a line through this year. Like, you look back at similar incidences. And I'm not saying, no. Well, mate, like Anthony Griffin, he's not going to stay after this year.
It's hard to see how he does.
It's almost untenable. It's almost within Hook's right to walk away.
So do you think?
I think he's doing it out of pride and you know, perhaps playing the long game in terms of if he can have an impact on this group, you know, that gives him some credibility into season 2024 and beyond. But you know, you look at a team like the Sharks, right? So the Sharks in 2021. Made a decision that Josh Morris wasn't going to be the coach moving forward, right? They bring in Josh Hannay.
And it was a harsh call at the time.
And remember at the time, it's like, can you be doing this, you know, booking a coach for the following season? Like, you know, Johnny Morris, great young coach, you know, bubbling away there was a team that was potential for top four. But Fitzgibbon comes in, and at the time, it really split people. But with what's happening at the Dragons at the moment, can you see them tracking on the same line as the Sharks?
Were you waiting for someone to make the bold call about what the future looks like?
You need that call, mate.
For me, I was at the Sharks at that time too. You know, and we went through a very similar thing. 12 months, they were talking about the speculation, they're going to keep the coach and not. And they made a call. Did everyone agree with it? Yes, no. There's different parts, but look how they're going now.
Yeah, you know, that's it. That's my point is, okay, if the Dragons do make a call, can you see them following on to what the Sharks did last year, but the Dragons doing it next year? Let's not forget, the Sharks and Dragons, not too dissimilar years as well. So last year, they were 12-12, the Dragons, but there's no kick from that. They actually had a record that would have put them into finals on a number of years. Same with the Sharks that year where they got rid of Johnny Morris. They finished ninth, but then they kicked. Like, can realistically anybody see that happening with the Dragons? Is it a coaching overhaul, board, players? Like, I think the jury's still out.
Well, that squad's nowhere near what... That Dragon squad's nowhere near what Cronulla was.
Yeah, well, that's my point.
Particularly with
that's
Nico Hines in the form he's in. And
well, he bought in, they bought in Hines. Nico they bought in Cameron McInnes.
But I just think the issue is when you have... question marks over the coach's future like that. You might say, Woodsy, it affects the players, but I think it does.
Of course,
it not give the players an out, give them an excuse not to play for the bloke? When they know, everyone knows he is gone. He will not be the coach next year. So players are given even if it's subconsciously, there is an excuse not to weigh up.
As a group, we don't want to use that as an excuse.
No.
That's what I'm trying to say is that personally, me, I don't worry about it. I don't look at the social media, all that sort of things. So I just stay away from it.
You're a social media king.
But then I can't. I'm saying the stuff with the dragons and all that. Especially what happened the last couple of days.
Yeah.
You've muted those words on
echo
your social
chamber.
Media.
There's a lot of Woodsy's in his own echo chamber.
There's a lot of words I've muted in the last since I've been playing NRL. But look, honestly, I can't speak on behalf of every player.
Yeah,
but I know how I feel, and that's how I feel. So like you said, we can use it as an excuse because, yeah, we did get beat, but I don't want the group using it as an excuse.
But, then also as well, one of my questions would be, how does Anthony Griffin ignore it? Like, how does he, like, fully invest himself in the team's preparation and coaching, like, without that lingering on in the background?
Mm.
Like, life's difficult enough. You know,
well, he's been through it a few times.
Well, he has, but if there's one emotion that human beings, like, are least favourable of, it's being uncertain.
Well,
that's the worst emotion or the worst feeling to have. You can deal with situations, the most traumatic, difficult situations, but what people don't enjoy is uncertainty.
Well, that's
and that's what he's got right now. And I don't know how he's supposed to prepare his team and his men and the staff. And then think about the filter effect through the football club, right? So if you've got your head coach, all your staff are connected to that head coach. So all the support staff then going, is Hook coming or is he going?
Yeah.
And it's one of those questions that you can't escape. You get asked it in the street, you get asked it at home. And then, so all the staff that are around him that Hook's brought to the club or they're under his stewardship, they're all going, well, am I...
What now?
If he goes, am I safe? Like, it creates so much instability and uncertainty, which affects everybody.
Mm. Well, the uncertainty is awful. I've been going through it the last 4 days and everyone asked me a question, you know, I had captain's run on Saturday morning and our football operations manager, Ben Harron, he told me what's happened. And literally we were on the field and as I got off the field, my phone went nuts.
Mm.
And on all the boys, you can just feel it's like a little elephant in the room. Like, do we ask Woodsy or do we not? And then I got home to my missus and she goes, are we going to Manly, are we? And like, she didn't even know because I hadn't spoke to her about it.
It's a beautiful place, Woodsy.
Yeah, it's a great place. But like Jimmy said, it's uncertainty. And then I've got to strip up next day and then go as 80th man. I was that nervous getting to the game because all the fans going, oh, is this your last game? Or what? I've got no idea what's going on. And and that's just what I've got to put up with, let alone what a head coach and then the whole staff and the group around it. Because we've got staff that are on 1 year contract, 2 year contract. And, you know, if Hook doesn't stay, are they going to get punted? Are they going to stay? So
that's where it really affects the group.
It's not just the uncertainty.
You notice as a player, I've been in situations before where you can tell where the staff are on. They're on edge.
Yep.
And that filters through. And you have like a real connection with a lot of the football staff. Like, I don't think the average punter or member would realize just how close those relationships are with the staff, with your assistant coaches, your strength coaches, all the sports scientists and stuff like that. You're really tight with them. And when you see them acting uncertain or they're not performing at their peak, it does have a real effect on you. And you can say with all the confidence in the world, I'm not going to let it affect me. I'm just going to go out there and do my job. All these little things, they all add up. In a salary cap sport, you look for the slight edge or you look for a bigger edge. How can you gain a competitive advantage? Well, one of those things is a stable football club, and the Dragons at the moment are not modelling that.
What are you hearing behind the scenes, Rudy, about how this might manifest itself with the coach moving forward?
I'd be surprised if he doesn't finish the year. And I would think he will only... The only way that won't happen is if he walks away.
Okay.
If he walks away, I think there's a guy, Ryan Carr, who's there.
You've got Ryan Carr and Ben Wolf, Christian Wolf's brother.
I think Ryan Carr's the guy that you would come in and do an interim job. They're not going to get a coach. The guys they want, Riles, Hornby, Dean Young, the guys who've been linked with the job, Flano, they're all committed for this year. So they're not going to get them early to come and take over. So
what about someone like Hasler?
Well, I'm not sure they go down that path on an injury. If you've got a guy like in the system, a guy like Ryan Carr is already in the system and knows the footy club.
But what about Hasler long term? So he comes
in
now.
I don't think so, Jim.
And then
I don't think Dez is on the radar.
You think they're going to go down the
Dragon? I think
the former Dragon.
I think Flano's the only bloke outside the former Dragon.
But he's been in that
system. And he played for St. George, Flano.
Yeah.
He was assistant coach. And
he was there last year, the year before. As like
he did
the
salary cap.
Roster manager.
Roster manager. So he knows the club as well. So
maybe he might be part of the Woodsy swap.
Oh, No, I think they need Flanagan. They need Flanagan.
Well, he is, he is at Manly. So, hey, you see how it makes sense.
But the other issue they've got, I reckon, is Ben Hunt, because he's been so outspoken about Anthony Griffin and wanting to keep him around, have him at the club. I wonder how he will react if
he got him to the Broncos under-20s. And,
you know, that he's going to go. I'm sure that's weighing on Benny Hunt.
They've got a really close friendship.
At the moment.
Of course.
But again, it's a subconscious thing, right? I mean, I'm not saying Benny Hunt won't go out and give his best or, you know, have a red-hot go regardless who the coach is. But when you come out so publicly and been in favour of someone, you've made it very, very clear that you want that guy to stay there.
Yeah, but
and then the club turns around, either taps him or he walks away. It's got to have some sort of impact on him. Look, and Ben Hunt's a pro. And I've got to say, Ben Hunt always, you know, after games, Ben Hunt's always the bloke to aim up, put his hand up, talk to the media. He handles that sort of stuff as well as anyone in the game.
You have to. Yeah. He's a club captain. Yeah. He's a marquee player.
Really, I'll put this to you. Yeah. Can you imagine if he didn't support his current coach?
Yeah.
Well, like, even with Jackson Hastings. So Jackson Hastings, very vocal about Madge Maguire. Of course he's going to be. And then after he leaves, he gets asked again. Yeah, I support Marge. He was great for me. Of course he's going to say that. Like, what sort of...
you can't, Jimmy, you can toe the party line and say, look, that's a club decision.
Yeah. You're right there. Yeah, yeah.
It's not up to us. We're going to play footy. The club will make that decision. But he's actually come out and said...
Yeah, that's
so
fair.
Positive about Anthony Griffin.
Righto. Let's redirect our angst right now on the Monday scrum and go towards the bunker. And we'll go over to what happened in Auckland between the Dogs and Warriors. Really entertaining game. But there were some controversial moments by way of the bunker. Kikau's strip or non-strip to deny the Warriors a try, and then next minute there's the Fox streaking downfield. Now, I had a good look at the rules about the stripping motion. So Kikau, he actually strips the hand away from the ball, not the ball away from the hand. There is nothing in the rules that makes it clear what is a strip. Is it attacking... Just the ball?
That's a correct decision, though. He's knocked the ball on. If you pull the arm away and you don't touch the ball...
So it's a loose carry.
It's a loose
carry. Even though for everyone watching, he definitely just dragged that arm away from the ball.
If it looks like a strip, smells like a strip,
quacks like a strip, it is a strip.
No. Not if he's dragged the arm. If he hasn't touched the ball, how can he get
six again out of that?
So if when he comes from behind, he looks like he tries to whack the ball out. If he knocks the ball out there, I reckon that... That's a strip. But then after watching the replay and different angles, he pulls the arm away from the ball, I'm actually for once with Reedy. I can't believe it.
I'll tell you why.
Tell me,
Go back and watch that, right?
Yeah.
And look at the trajectory of the ball. That's not... If you watch... just
doesn't matter. He doesn't break the ball by Jimmy. He's got to pull the ball out.
But it's with force. So the ball doesn't travel like a drop ball. It travels like a ball that's been riffed up.
Because it's so violent on the arm.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. He hasn't played... He hasn't attacked the ball.
Okay. Well...
If he hasn't touched the ball, Jimmy, how can you give a six again? You can't.
But it's a clear strip. The ball has been dislodged by the ball carrier due to the action of the defender in a stripping motion, not a shoulder hit under the ball. That's not a rip. It's a stripping motion, which I think constitutes.
But there's nothing that does constitute, because Adam just said the law then.
But there's nothing to nothing to clarify.
That's the problem. There's nothing in the law that says.
So we can both be right here.
Well, everyone's right. We can. But in my opinion, if you were to watch that footage again and somehow get the players to be blanked out and watch how the ball travels, you would and have an educated guess on whether that ball was dropped or stripped, I think you would say stripped because of the speed and the direction that it moves in. It doesn't look like a standard drop.
You're saying it's pure physics, Jim.
If I drop this pen, Reedy,
that's gravity.
It's as if I throw it. We've got difference.
But if he yanks the arm away, if he pulls at the arm and the ball spews out because of that, that's not a strip.
It's a loose carry.
It should be a loose carry.
I actually think it shouldn't be.
It looks like
I'm hating this conversation. Hang on.
Can you imagine how much grey area we create by not clarifying this?
We already create grey area with rugby league, mate.
You're making the grey area because you're declaring a strip. I'm saying it's not.
Okay, so then next time you're in that situation, what's our kind of captain's chance? Well, didn't rake at the ball, just raked at his arm. No. Any raking action, that's a rake, that's a strip.
I'm with you, but by
that
the
gives
rule,
us more so clarity.
Did you see the one where Sean Johnson tackled Kikau and he lost the ball?
Mate, that should have that Johnson challenged that. I think that should have been challenged successful.
Yep.
What about Johnson's try where Reid Marnie ran into a decoy?
I don't mind
runner.
That. But the other thing is, by the law of the... See, I reckon for a rugby league, if you're watching rugby league, that's like a rugby league move. I don't mind it because he steps the two defenders in front of him. So Ray Fatulamana is looking out. He beats him on his inside shoulder and goes through the line. But the only problem is, because Fanua Blake's gone through, he's gave Reid Marnie a disadvantage of getting into that tackle. But if you go on what we see as a rugby league player, he was never a chance of going to stop that try.
Yeah. Worth a try to bump into the guy and fall
and
over and make it look dramatic. And,
but it's got to be.
But that doesn't matter. Whether there's a chance to stop a try or not, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because
that's the rule.
So you think it was obstruction, Moody?
I don't. Look, honestly.
Come on, what do you think it is, Reedy?
I don't know.
Don't sit on the fence.
Okay, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. What I'm saying is it doesn't matter if he.
You're fine with the try being
stopped the try or not. Yeah.
I think that's one of those where. The benefit of the doubt, common sense.
Yes,
you go.
I agree, Jimmy. 100%.
Like, could Reid Marnie have made contact with Sean Johnson? Yes. Would he have stopped the try?
Well, the thing is, we go back to your physics. He's going too quick for Reid Marnie to get him.
He is not denied an opportunity to stave the try. If we were playing tag,
yes,
yeah, he might get the tag. That's one of those touch, training, tag or touch. That's one of them where you get. I think you might get it. But in terms of how Johnson was moving, the speed he was moving at, I think benefit of the doubt goes
it was
to the...
It was good to see common sense.
It's a common sense rule. Benefit of the doubt. Look, I think it should have been... However, I do think it should have been looked at. It was a very quick decision, and it was almost then a reaction to like, hang on a minute.
But if they've got any like doubts, there's going to be no try. They'll go straight to video ref at the end.
Yeah,
like when he's going back to kick. But they would have had a minute to look at it there.
A little bit quick, take the kick.
they tell you to wait.
One thing I actually loved about that whole action, and we're talking about the controversy over the try. Was one of my favourite moves in rugby league, and that's the Sean Johnson step and dummy at the same time. And just he even sells the cameraman as well. Like the camera keeps going one way, and it's like, whoa, there he goes.
We used to have him training.
I'm glad you like to watch it because I hated being on the end of that.
Yeah, I was about to say,
2013
he was targeting
World Cup semi final.
I remember it well
at Wembley Stadium.
That was bad.
Glad
He's made a comeback, Sean Johnson. Yeah, look, a lot of people thought he should have retired at the end of last year. I was one of them.
You know, the other thing about Reid, we talk about his attack. His defence has been unbelievable. I never forget, round one we commentated, he led a bit of a soft try, the first one for Newcastle. Yeah. And ever since that moment, he has been absolutely outstanding defensively. He's made so many good reads. He had Kiki on the weekend in front of him, and I thought he did an outstanding job.
Yeah. With Sean, when you were there, is he the guy that you go, oh, no, he's on the other side when you're playing
so
a bit
scary.
Of touch to warm
up? So we would do like a drill on the try line. You have like five defenders and there's like seven attackers and you just got to keep turning away for a certain period of time. Mm. You just didn't want to get him in front of you. It's sickening. And like that, and he used to always pick on me because like he loved pick on his middles. And it was like I was on ice skates, mate. I was so scared.
Well, you know the try that he scores, it's on last tackle as well.
Yeah.
So automatic, and he keeps you on your toes. Scary. So there is that, you know, we talked about subconscious. Oh, he's just going to put the kick in. I'll turn him set for the kick. And almost you could see that happen to the Bulldogs defense players turning out, just thinking, oh, it's a cardinal sin to turn out. That's what you never want to do. If you're defending in the middle, never turn out. And that's on a guy like Sean Johnson. That's what he did.
Hey, Reedy, just the word on the Warriors as well. So everyone, obviously, Penrith lost two assistants from last season. Everyone talks about Serraldo at the Dogs. Yeah. Fair enough. This guy over there at the Warriors, Andrew Webster.
Not the journo, the coach.
It would be fun, though, once to put Webby in there, just to give him a go to see what it's really like. Yeah. Now, in all honesty, what was the talk about this guy in the off-season, his boom from Penrith? Because obviously Serraldo is like the most famous assistant in the history of rugby league.
Oh, no, I think the Penrith players loved him. I know Sean O'Sullivan was a huge fan of Andrew Webster when he was at Penrith with Webster on the coaching staff. I think Webby was in charge of the attack there. And, you know, we all know how good Penrith were with the ball. There was a lot of focus on the defence with Serraldo. But if you look, they had no problem scoring points over the last few years. And that's to a large extent, because of Andrew Webster. So I think the fact he's got him purring, it doesn't surprise me. As I said, there were huge raps out of Penrith on Andrew Webster.
I've had him before. He's a Balmain boy.
Coach haven't you had?
Exactly. Yeah, right. True. I've had a few.
He's been a lot of clubs.
I've got a really good relationship with Webby. He's actually very smart. But the other thing what he does well is He's got such a good rapport with his players.
Yeah.
You know, some coaches can be either really, really smart tactical wise, but then not get our players to run through a brick wall. Whereas other coaches, they get you run through a brick wall, but then tactical wise, they rely on their assistants. He's got both. Yeah. He's absolutely unbelievable. And then I remember talking to Sean Johnson about him. He was at Warriors a few years back before I think he went to Penrith or when he come back from England. And Sean loved him then. And like Reddy said, I think Sean was really down on confidence last year. And then the moment they found out that Webster was coming there, I think
sparked up a bit.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Straight on the phone to Webby, or Webby was straight on the phone to him, and he said he's all in. And just from that moment, and just the rapport you have with players sometimes, Jimmy will tell you, you do different things for coaches that you love, don't you, Jimmy?
Yeah, well, that's the difference. That's why you do what you do. Hmm. That's why you go above and beyond, why you push through that pain barrier, why when every cell in your body is telling you to stop, you keep going. It's for the blokes around you and the coach.
Well, it goes back to what we were talking about the Dragons earlier. You know, there's an excuse now for them, for the Dragons, because the coach is on thin ice.
WTF moment. We've got a sponsor yet, Charlie? No, it's fine. We've got a Charlie, yeah, we've got lift, one of buddy. These, though. Now, what the heck? The WTF moment. Who wants to go first?
I'll go if you want. Yeah. Mine's not got to do rugby league.
Oh, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't. So we talk about interest rates and all that going up at the moment in the world. It's not the only thing going up.
Yeah?
A democracy sausage is being sold for a whopping $16.
What?
At a Sydney venue with voters reporting markups across the state. Barbecues are being fired up as voters across New South Wales head to the polls for 2023 state elections. Voting booths opened at 8 a.m. on Saturday, and while many voters have been indulging in the election treat, a fish shop in Sydney has caused controversy of how much it's charging for its sausage sizzle. Mm. Australian chef Josh Nyland's Fish Butchery is selling the humble sausage sizzle at his Waterloo and Paddington locations for $16. Oh. Gets better, boys. Gets better.
Inner city elite.
The Sanger features a slice of white bread with crust cut off, grilled onion, and tomato jam. That is a WTF moment if I've ever heard one.
My goodness. Tomato jam.
What you can put your interest rates up, put your cost of living, but don't put my sausage sizzles on a weekend up.
It's $16.
Oh, I'd want to pay $3.50 for mine.
The tomato jam would be enough to tear me off. I would have put, I was there at $16, I was thinking, oh, it'd be nice, like free range pork, you know, like a flavoured sausage. Like tomato layered. Jam. Come
on. Yeah. I can't believe that.
That is a definition of a WTF moment, Woodsy. Well done.
You know, you don't have to buy it. You could sell them for $1,000.
If you're going to vote, you need a sausage singer.
You'd almost be tempted to try it just because it's so expensive. This must be a really good sausage, right?
Yeah, what's going on there?
It takes the crust off. You're paying for less.
Yeah, you're getting less,
I wonder what he does with all those crusts.
Yeah. It's like that Seinfeld episode with the muffin tops. Remember that, Elaine?
My WTF moment was Gutho calling for the challenge just before Penrith kicked it to the 40, and then Nathan did what he did.
What a blunder that
was. It was like, oh no, he's gone high. Don't just leave it. Make it happen quickly so Penrith can't organise themselves. You could see Nathan, as soon as he had a bit of time to tick over in his mind exactly what he wanted to do and where he wanted that ball and where he was going to take the field gone from. Gutho would like that moment back, but they won the game, so it doesn't really matter in the end, but it was a WTF moment in my regard. Ready?
Mine is, I actually got a phone call today from my wife, and she said, can you go to school and pick up Sam, my oldest son? Hmm. I said, what's wrong? She said, he's in the office, he's not feeling well. Anyway, I've gone to pick him up, and I said, what's up, buddy? And he said, I'm tired. I've got a headache, I'm tired.
I reckon he takes after the old man.
So I've taken him home.
What year is he?
And I said, well, he's in year 10. I said, what's happened, mate? He said, you fell asleep on the couch last night, which I did. Uh-huh. And he said, I stayed up and I'm tired.
So
he's come home.
So he wasn't even at sick bay.
I said, I'm telling you now, you will never come home. That's not an excuse.
What sort of school?
Don't name the school.
Right.
Don't
name the school.
What name? What school? Like what hope do we have for our future? If kids are saying I'm tired, I tell you what,
my mum would have slapped me and said, "Get back in there."
Well, it is the COVID. It is the year of COVID. So when a kid, I don't blame the school. I don't blame the school. He said he had a headache.
So
I blame my son.
Parents like yourself.
I blame my son.
What happened to a good old fashioned just bunk? off school or take a day off. You know, pretend, see you later, mum and dad, I'm going to school. And then you turn back to base.
Said, you know why he's coming home? She said, yeah, he's tired.
Yeah.
I said, please, that's not an excuse.
Now if they don't rock up, you get a message on your phone or email to say unexplained absence.
Wow. Yeah.
Every
that sucks.
Say, you know what you got to do then before you leave the house? What? Turn the Wi-Fi off.
Have you ever had a footballer go, I'm not tired today, I don't feel like training. Tired, got a headache.
I had training, ever heaps, yeah.
Oh, there, okay, there you go, okay.
I mean, get him to say, get out there, mate.
Yeah, mate, you no excuses.
Anyway,
really.
It won't happen again. Really, he's back to school tomorrow.
Sure.
What? Bring back... Bring back, what's that?
Capital
bring
punishment.
Back, not capital. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Reedy's a bit extreme. Capital punishment for feeling tired. No, I was just going to bring, maybe bring back the cane.
Bring back
the cane.
The strap.
Jeez.
Reedy wants the electric chair. WTF moment. Jimmy, apart from that.
Well, wow, yes. My WTF moment was Sean Johnson's defence. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, Woodsy touched on it earlier, but obviously that was spoken about. But I just think in general, the WTF moment, the Warriors and the Dogs, like what a game, like
top game
for those two teams to perform at the level they did, to keep turning up for 80 minutes, a 16-14 game, like last year, 2 years ago, one of those teams that could have been 56-34. Like, no joke,
I agree with you, Jimmy, 100%.
Both of those teams have come such a long way, especially defensively. They had so much work to do. There was times there where they were, under adversity, struggling with adversity, but they just kept turning up for one another. You know, they completed high, they threw plenty at them. Great effort from both teams. I was surprised just how far both of those teams have come in the last couple of seasons.
Average winning margins, by the way, and you touched on it there, James, the fact that game was tight, a number of games across the weekend, again, tight, and you define a tight game by what, less than 10 points or maybe 6 points or whatever?
Less than 20 if you're a Dragons fan.
Less than 20. So the figures, got this off a Reddit thread. So you're big on Reddit, Reedy.
You're lying to us, aren't you, Reedy?
Oh, 2021, us? Average on. Margin.
You're still there?
I'm still
there.
Is it? You're good, physical one.
2021 average margin, 18 points. Last year, 13 points. The first four rounds this season, 9 points. Take out the Dragons, it's 7 points. But it's drawing people to the game. Mm. It's TV companies would be happy because the average rating's taken over the course of 80 minutes. People are hanging on longer to watch the game, sometimes more than 80 minutes, as we discovered at Acor Stadium on Saturday night with Manly just being tipped out by Souths. But it's tremendous viewing. Have we got a reason for it? Or is it a team's preparing differently defensively?
I just think if you look at the... I've always talked to Wade Graham about it off air, and the last 10 years, you look at the sides that have won the comp, they've all got the best defensive record in the competition. And there's no way around it. You've got to be a good defensive side. Hmm. And for every team to be better, they need to work on their D. And it's... I remember watching the game when I was growing up, there was always 40 to 10 games all the time. If you take us out of the Dragons, I know we're joking about it, but the last 2 weeks we've let 40, we're probably the only side that's done that. Mm-hmm. Whereas to be in that top echelon of sides like the Panthers, the South Sydney Rabbitohs, the Storm, you can't leak points in. Even when the game has gone, you still got to keep fighting for every inch, because at the end of the day, your for and against is what's going to matter at the end of the season. And that's what teams are all brought up upon now. Everyone practices the same way, but it's putting it to motion on the field each week. And that's what teams have done so well before, is the teams will practice at training, but then they wouldn't go out and do it at the game. Whereas now they've been able to transition it from the training paddock to the field.
Well, I think it's remarkable, especially when you consider that we've had a new franchise team come in, which hasn't had a monopoly. So you look at maybe perhaps when Souths re-entered the competition, they were the whipping boys a little bit.
Yep. Yep.
So to have the Dolphins come in with no real... marquee, they've got some experienced players up there, but a lot of people expecting them to, in some of the games that they've had, the Roosters, the Broncos, teams that, for the talent, if you look at a dollar amount on the field, way over exceeds what the Dolphins have. So you would expect some blowout scores there. You look to last weekend, the hot weather, you would expect blowout scores, but we've not seen that. What I put this down to is, go back a couple of years ago, there was lots of blowouts. Now, people went to Volandi's, Abdo, hey, you've created this through the six again, fatigue,
too
team.
Quick. Yep.
What I think's happened is coaches are stubborn little buggers. So, and perhaps they look back at when they played and what's worked before and trying to copy carbon copy of what the other teams are doing. I think the coaches have slowly learned just how to play and train with these new interpretations, but new laws, i.e. the six again. So I think slowly but surely, players, teams, coaches are getting used to playing under these new conditions. And I think that's what's happened, is that teams, players, coaches have all figured it out, and therefore the games are a lot better contest.
Well, when they were first coming with the six again, I think they only told us that like it was only like a month before the
people
season
were
started.
Lost. Yeah. People were absolutely lost. And it was horrendous.
So you prepare one way and you have to
twist. I've got a more simplistic view of why.
Yes, Brent.
Because we've had another team.
Yes.
I've raised this before.
We've had another team.
We've shared the wealth, right?
Spread the tomato jam a bit further.
Penrith's come back a bit. Price has been driven up.
Yeah.
Salary caps are tighter. The playing talent's been spread, not, I wouldn't say more evenly, but it's been spread across more clubs. So it's brought the top teams back a little bit to the
agree,
field.
Really,
And, you know, I think the Dolphins have, you know, they went and got really experienced hard heads, guys who could keep you in a contest.
Yep.
And, you know, I think the weak teams have got stronger. You know, the Tigers, even the Tigers, they've got, you cannot debate, they've got stronger. Like they've added guys who've made them a better footy team. They're not winning.
Yeah, but they only got beat by Melbourne in Melbourne 24-12.
Like, I know. So I just think everyone's more competitive.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's early days, though, obviously. But
it is.
A month in, but we'll wait and see how that ends
never
up.
That's us going off early.
With Parra, are they chasing another fullback?
Well, this is the great man, Michael Chamis, causing drama again. So
Jimmy's eyes are twitching.
Jimmy's getting nervous. So basically, what they've done is they've got some spots in their roster. They want to fill it. They want to fill it with a player who can create something, an X factor player, a guy who can create something out of nothing, right? So, and also, I think there is a view that maybe Gutho isn't as explosive as some of the other top line fullbacks in the comp. If they can bring in a fullback, someone who is a bit more explosive, then they can use them either off the bench.
But what fullbacks are there at the moment to take?
Well, not many. Yeah, I think they've asked about Jaden Campbell, but...
they're not going to let him go at the moment.
Jaden Campbell's under contract and really hard. He's on big money at the Gold Coast. It'd be really hard to get him out of there. They've asked about Jake Avarillo, I think, at Canterbury, who's off contract at the end of the year.
Hang on a minute. But they got Gutho.
Dane Laurie.
They got Dylan Brown.
Yep.
And they've got Mitchell,
yep,
as we know now, for a while. So where, even if they did get someone in, where would that, sit on the 14 and then just play musical chairs during the course of a game?
They could put Gutho to centre. He's played centre for Origin.
If Waka Blake leaves.
Which he could, he's off contract.
Which I believe he's been told he can. Perhaps you could move Gutherson into the centres.
Yeah.
But this, look, Gutherson, he might not be the X factor, but look what he did to James Fisher-Harris. You're telling me one of those X factor style of players stops James Fisher-Harris with almost a try of the century where he kicks it through for himself and he's one-on-one with Gutherson. Gutherson just holds him up and stops him. There's pros and cons to this. This, honestly, it sounds like Mitchell Moses has been re-signed and then there's a group of Parramatta fans going, well, what else do we need? Hey, yeah, you know what would be great? You know, a guy like Tedesco.
Are you saying this is a rumor, Jimmy?
It sounds like fantasy talk. You know what would be really good? If we have this Parramatta team now and we put Tommy Trbojevic at the back, we'll win the comp. That's what it sounds like. You can't have everything. You can't have it all.
The club has spoken to Gutho about it. So they've spoken to Gutho about going out and getting a player who could be potentially a fullback. Just to make sure Gutho's okay with it. Gutho is.
I reckon he's their energy man. He's like their main. You see what he does off the ball.
He's like Dylan Edwards for them.
He's one of the safest under the high boys. You see him always behind the boys, like pumping them up. And talking, if something good happens at Parramatta, it happens. Gutherson's always in the vicinity of some of every area that
so
happens.
So the suggestion he doesn't have the explosive.
Doesn't
speed
matter, but yeah, but he makes up with it with Dylan.
But then that's on Dylan Brown to come up with the X factor.
Jimmy just said about it as well. Dylan Edwards is not the fastest bloke on the field,
and he's not X. You wouldn't.
I would say he's definitely X factor. But mate, but Gutho's fit as. I was speaking to Mitch Moses. He's the fittest at the club. Gutho. Yeah.
He wins the yo-yos.
He wins everything there. Yeah. So I just think I'd probably, if I was them, invested in probably someone in the forwards. They need help with Regan Campbell-Gillard, junior baller, they're playing massive minutes and they're going to be in Origin sides. You need their.
You putting your hand up?
No.
Deal's not done. Manly yet. Hold on.
See yeah, mate. You need to see yeah. Well, while Reedy's on a roll, let's get to this. Read about it. Read about
it. Reedy's Mail. Let's start at Cronulla. Let's start at Cronulla because Nicho Hynes is the man of the moment at the moment. He was so good yesterday. Look, Cronulla started talks with Nicho over a new deal because he's got, I think he's got 2 years left on his current deal. He's on a pretty bargain basement deal when you consider his standing in the game and how good he's playing at the moment.
Gives a roundabout figure.
Around the 600 mark, 650.
Like that's cheap double. For him, man. Yeah. Wow.
Bargain basement.
Bargain basement.
600 grand a year. Wow, Reedy.
That's Reedy's wage.
Get me in that basement.
But the issue is there's no cap. We've got a cap done for next year, but we don't have a cap done beyond that at the moment. Yeah. So at the moment, those talks are sort of on a hiatus in a while they wait to see what the salary cap is beyond next year.
So he's got 2 more years on this current deal.
I think it's 2 more, yeah.
Well, that is there a world in which we live in that his standing is of a high enough realm that Cronulla can go to him and say, you know what, let's tear up that deal and let's start your new deal next season.
I'm
because
sure
he's playing far beyond 600 grand a
I'm
year.
Sure there'd be a push to as part of any extension to upgrade next year. I mean, it's interesting because a new marker's been laid, right? Mitch has laid a new marker for what your playmakers are worth now. I mean, well, to be fair, Cleary was already on that sort of money.
Mitch is one of my best mates, but, mate, Nicho Hynes, if he's on 600 and Mitch is on 1.3.
Something's wrong.
Has he got 1.2, 1.3, what do you got? You got the good oil.
He's going for the he's going from the basement to the
well, you would have thought,
Nicho, I was reading Chemist's articles 1.3, so
it's just a rumour, mate.
Hey. Nicho's, he's one of our very own Chemists.
Look, he's a good man, I love him. Nicho's now clearly $1 million player. There's no doubt about that.
He's a freak.
And you know, they're just gonna wait, his management's just gonna wait, see what the cap comes out at, and then look to seal the deal for him going forward.
Do you think Nicho could be the type of player that, you know, potentially takes less to stay at Cronulla and knows that for him to win a comp, keep those quality players around them because they've got a really, really good squad, Cronulla.
Great call. Like, unbelievable.
You know, so if Nicho's there, does he take the unselfish approach of go, I'll take less as long as some of these people stay.
But you've got to remember, he's also a late starter.
Exactly.
So he hasn't got the good income like the other, a lot of those young boys have.
He'd get a fortune away from the field with the looks and the surf and
but
all
that. But how much less do you, you know, it's about how much less.
That's it,
everyone's got a limit, right? That, you know,
and he's a Dally and Whit, he's got the runs on the board now.
Cronulla committed 800,000, say, and somebody's offering him 1.2. Well, that's just, which could happen. I mean, he could get that sort of money given, you know, as I said, Mitch and Cleary and those key playmakers are set a market, right? So, you know, you would have thought an open market, he's at least a $1.2 million player now. So they're going to have to, I'm sure he'll take less to stay at Cronulla, but it's got to be reasonable. It can't be outrageously less than what he's on. Mm. The other guy they've actually tabled an offer to is Teague Wilton. Cronulla's got an offer on the table right now for him. I think he's off contract at the end of the year, and I suspect Teague will take that deal up. So, you know, he's a good young player. I think he was in
very
New South
good.
Wales under
unsung hero Teague.
Yeah, he's been very good this season.
He had a
very
really good battle yesterday with Jaden Sewer, and mate, Teague's effort off the ball, unbelievable. A lot of people just watch what he does with his good running lines. Like, they've got two of the best line runners in the game, Cronulla with Nakora as well, but Teague's efforts off the boys, kick chase, kick pressure, just the little things that go unnoticed. He's the best at the club at that.
Yeah, well, it looks like he will stay.
That's huge for them.
Yeah.
I got some mail.
What do you got?
You want to chime in with it?
Yeah,
I just checked my email and it came through from Manly in the last 10 minutes.
What do you got?
It's not you, Woodsy. Tolo Kula, he's out 4 to 6 weeks MCL.
Oh, it's true. Someone just rang me about that this morning, said he had a knee brace on.
So he's minor knee surgery on Tuesday. So, gone for a month and a half,
blow.
Maybe. Massive blow.
Yeah. Interesting, they're fighting to keep Tolo because the whisper is that now that Joe Swalee's done that, he's the next target for rugby union.
Piss off,
so,
Eddie. Go away.
I'm just after the election on the weekend. There's a bit. It's interesting that result, the election on the weekend, because I think the stadium and grand final debate's going to kick off again now. I know we went through it all last year about where the grand final was going to be played and who was going to get money for stadiums. Well, now the government's changed. You know, I know Penrith want to meet with the state government, their local member, in the next few days to sort out what's going on.
He's gone. He's got a rissole.
And you know, the commitment was there to build that new stadium across the road on the Paceway. Well, I don't think the new government's going to do that. So they
didn't get that signed off before he got rissole.
No, it didn't get signed off.
I think
there's a commitment. They will build a new stadium for them, but it probably won't be the one across the road. They'll probably have to knock down the one they've got now.
Buzzes down with the Sharks CEO at the moment. Dino, a proposal to try and get some funding for Sharks.
Well, they're all going to. Dino will be in the mix. Manly are obviously chasing money for their stadium. I know Lee Hadjipin tell us the West Tigers have already reached out to Chris Minns before the election and said, we want some cash. Forget about Penrith. Don't spend 300 there. Spend 150 there and give us 50. Yeah, so
spread it all.
But the big pot of gold at the end of this is the grand final. And what happens now? Because the Queensland government have been eyeing that off for a while. And it's whether they're going to be willing to throw all this money to keep the grand final in Sydney. And, you know, as I said, this has been an ongoing issue for 12 months now, and I can see the Corey O'Mal now and Pete Bedell up there running stories for the next 4 weeks in Queensland. We want the grand final. So.
Well, especially considering now that there's an actual valuation on the A-League grand final, which got sold to the New South Wales government.
Yeah, what was it again?
It was like 15 mil over 3 years or something like that. So the NRL
decent compared to what we do?
Well, no, I think we go more than that.
I have to go more. They but now, more. You know, Peter Vallandi's the master of negotiation.
Oh, he's the king.
Yeah. His way can go in there and say, well, the A-League grand final is worth this. All our history, the crowd numbers, the ratings we get, we're worth through the roof. Yep. So, yeah, fair that'll enough. Be a fun chat.
Just to fire one, the Knights. It's a big week at the Knights. So, Kalen is still obviously over in Canada. He's going to undergo, undergo testing this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Should be back next week. So, hopefully they'll have some sort of clear guidelines on what they've got to do with Kalen Ponga by when he returns to Australia next weekend. And hopefully we'll get some clarity around his future. The word out of Dom Young played New South Wales Cup yesterday. There's been a bit of talk that maybe the Roosters might have another look at him. I don't think it'll happen. I think Dom Young will stay. But they are interested in signing a guy from the Warriors, a young kid who's playing New South Wales Cup. I don't know how to say his name. Zion Ma'u, I think his name is, his front rower.
Their game was on TV on the weekend. He was outstanding. Yeah. Good young mobile forward. He's only young too, I think.
He's only a kid, yeah. They want to get him on 22. Loan for the rest of this year, and they're desperate to sign some middles the night. So keep an eye on that one.
Is it just for this year, or are they going to
get him? It would be just for this year, yeah.
He'd be a handy pickup. He's got some really good leg speed. He's got something
but
about
Dom Young's the other one to keep an eye on. I reckon there'll be some talks this week. I don't think the Knights will let him go just because they're so short on outside backs at the moment. They've got so many injuries, but keep an eye on that situation.
And how long's Kalen got in Canada?
I think he's back in Newcastle this weekend, so he returns this weekend. So I think he undergoes 3 days of testing.
Yep.
And we did a story at the weekend on what he's got to do. He puts a cap on his head and they put some sensors on his head and they play some sounds and some names down the line and stuff and see how his brain reacts, get some baseline testing, and then they'll plot sort of a rehabilitative program for him, how long it'll take and how that'll play out.
Fingers crossed for him, maybe.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Back on the park sooner than later.
But hopefully we should have some clarity on Kalen, I reckon, by the weekend.
That was Reedy's mail. And just before we go, James, we've got some mail on Reedy that he won't be around in a couple of weeks' time because he'll be off playing golf with his mates.
Sunday, baby.
He did say, but he'll call in so he can get his invoice.
Yeah. So Kalen gets back and I'm going, baby.
Where is your priority?
The Masters or here?
Come on, Masters. Mate. That's bucket list, baby. Ticking that one off.
You've already been there, but haven't you?
Never been.
Oh, I thought you'd been.
I'll
already.
Bring you back a like a.
Can you get a golf ball each?
I'll bring you back a golf ball and a marker.
Oh, thanks.
And a little marker.
Thanks, appreciate it.
I'll bring you back. I'll tell you what. I'll buy you each a cap. How's that?
Cool.
Yeah, is that right?
What about a polo?
Oh,
you're not going to be just making sure you are going there purely for work.
There's no function.
It's all going to be work related,
could
right?
I mention like the
you're
function?
Gonna, you're going to be professional.
This might help
because
my
if
cause.
A professional would surely be in bed by
especially the night
eight,
before the tournament
the night before
starts.
The, I reckon eight with jet.
Have we got time to Charlie to clarify what they're talking about? So for the listeners, Paige Spirinac, if you know Paige Spirinac, she's a social media icon.
Seen her around.
A golfer. Former golfer, professional golfer.
Mainly social media
she's
page.
She's having a Las Vegas party in Augusta the night before the opening round at the Masters, the Wednesday night. And I've managed to get myself, Brayton Astor, and a few other journos on the VIP list.
Look forward to seeing all those Cam Munster stories in the papers in the next couple of months if you're taking Braith along. So well done, Brent.
Braith will be there. So,
congratulations.
So Paige, big shout out to Paige. I'm sure she's a listener to the
You're the best. Show. You're the best, Reedy.
It's work. I'll be following a story.
Hey, we're not your wife you're talking to here. We know.
Did I hear Las Vegas style party?
Las Vegas style party in Augusta.
Yeah, Reedy's wife, don't listen to this podcast this week. He's going to be working the whole time.
Reedy's in a nightclub with a notepad.
Yeah.
Good work, Reedy.
Gentlemen, thank you. James, you're the constant here. We'll see you when we see you. Woodsy, we'll see you with another cap on next week. And Reedy, we won't see you. So stuff you. What colour? Not sure. See you.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.